Donna and I had been married for about 5 years, and I came home from summer camp one Saturday afternoon to find out that there was a big banner across our garage door saying, "Welcome home, Daddy." And there was all kinds of pink and blue ribbons all over the yard and the house. That was Donna's way of letting us know that we were going to be introduced to the brand new world of family and parenthood. In the years that followed, we were blessed with 3 other children. And since then, those children, all 4 of them, have gone from the baby years to the childhood to the teenage and young adult. And now they have become adults with children of their own and growing as well. The fact that we ask and we want to be family, we want our children to grow through those stages of life. That's what we look forward to as parents. And as a father, God says that we are His children. And so He looks forward to us growing through those same stages of maturity in our relationship with Him. And so for the next 5 weeks, we are going to be in a sermon series that we've entitled The Marks of Maturity. We're going to be looking at 1 John, and we're going to be examining the stages of Christian growth and maturity that God wants us to go through. We're going to see the characteristics of each stage, and we're going to challenge ourselves at that various level. But the fact that God wants us to grow is confirmed in some of the following scriptures. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Speak the truth and grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, even Christ." 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Colossians, that same truth is emphasized when Paul says, "We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." And the word perfect does not refer to without error, but or whole or mature, or a word we would use. We want to present everyone grown up in Christ. Now, when you think about it, there's many words in Scripture which verify that God wants us to grow. Throughout the Scripture, we find words like babe, infant, little children, young men, fathers, and mature. And they indicate to us that those levels of maturity God does want us to grow through. Now, throughout this series, I want us to remember one thing, though. Our spiritual maturity in Christ is unlike our earthly maturity on this world. Our spiritual maturity in Christ cannot be measured by how old we are, by how smart we are, by how well we dress, or even by how long we have been in Christ. That concept explains why you can have people who are very physically advanced in years, but spiritually speaking, they are still babes in Christ. It explains why we can have smart, intelligent Christians who are at the top of their careers, but who may not still know the ABCs of Christ and His Word. It explains why we can have adults who look really sharp in the way they dress, but if they were to come to church dressing according to their spiritual maturity, you might have some adults sitting in diapers in church. Now that would be really interesting. I don't know if we really like that image, but wow, okay? Well, let's examine the first stage of maturity in Christ, the babe in Christ. Just as we call a newborn a baby, so too anyone who is newly born of the Spirit is referred to as a babe in Christ in the Bible. In fact, in the New Testament, God uses 3 different words that are translated by our one English word, baby. And we're going to take a look at each of those three words this morning, and we're going to find that each contains an important characteristic of this stage of our life in Christ. The first characteristic of the babe in Christ is seen in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. And if you want to take notes, you have the insert in your bulletin. John writes, "I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name." The word children here uses a Greek word which refers to what we would call newborns or infants or babies. Now, when you think about it, the last time you held a newborn and you looked at that newborn baby, I don't know about you, but to me, the words pure and innocent and adorable come to mind. That baby has done nothing wrong. There is just something about them that is so appealing, so pure, so wonderful. And maybe that explains why God says the most important, the first and most important characteristic that a newborn child in Christ, God wants him to know that their sins are forgiven. That forgiveness means that when you and I are in Christ, that no matter how good or bad or even horrible our life was before Christ, God wants us to know that every mistake we made, every wrong we committed, every sin we've been guilty with, everything that could be held against us is now forgiven by God Almighty. Sometimes I think we Christians lose sight of the power of forgiveness and what it means for us as we transition from the world to Christ. And that's why one of the most challenging exercises that we can occasionally do is something we may not want to do. I would challenge you periodically, go back in memory, remember your days before Christ. Go back and remember, if you can, your sins and your attitude and the way you chose to look at life and look at people. And then thank God that you're no longer that same person. Thank God that we no longer have the burden of the guilt and the despair in the mindset those sins produced, because we are now a newborn, a babe in Christ. And I want you to note that John stresses that our sins are forgiven on account of His name. Those words stress that there is nothing in us that we did to deserve forgiveness. Our forgiveness is entirely in Christ and of Christ and through Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, He took upon Himself the sins of every man to the point where Jesus, who had known nothing but a perfect relationship with His Father, looked up at His Father and said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? One person visualized it this way. If we look at the heart of Jesus like a bottle, that on the cross, the top of the bottle was taken off. And then one by one, every one of our sins were put into His heart. And His heart changed from being pure and innocent and righteous to being completely full of sin and evil. God transferred our guilt onto Him and His innocence onto us. The end result of Jesus' death on the cross is that when we come to God seeking the repentance that only He can give us, when we are immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, then as believers, we have God's promise that on that day of judgment that we discussed last week, when Christ comes again, we do not have to face God as our judge. Rather now, we face Him as our Father. A Father who wants to see His children come into His presence because we know that our sins have been forgiven. But that is just the first of many blessings that God wants to give us in our walk on this earth. The second characteristic of a babe in Christ is found in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Paul wrote these words, "But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children." From this verse, we learn that babes in Christ need to be cared for gently. Now, when you're holding that newborn baby in your arms, how many of you are just going to toss that baby to the next person who wants to hold it? How many of you are going to use it as a basketball? No. You make sure you very gently transfer that child. You make sure that before you take their hand under their neck, that the next person has their hand under its neck, because a baby can't support itself. You do everything you can to care and nurture for that child. And the same is true for children in Christ, for newborns in Christ. I'll never forget an experience that Donna and I had in Fort Ord, California. It was Salinas, but the Fort Ord was a nearby military base. And God just gave us one of these evangelical waves where soldier after soldier was beginning to come to church. We literally had dozens of GIs, many of them coming to church for the first time in their lives. One Sunday, a young man by the name of Joe, who was about 20 or 21 years old, he got baptized, and he was so excited about his life in Christ that he invited three or four of his buddies to come to church with him the next Sunday. And he went up, and he reserved the front seat, and he kept turning around, and he kept turning around looking for his buddies. They were a little bit late, and church was just beginning to start. We were just about ready. I mean, people standing have that first song. Joe finally sees his three or four buddies coming in the door, and he stands up, and he goes, "Come on, guys, it's okay. I saved the best seats in the house for you." And those guys came up front, and they joined us up front, and we had a great worship service. And afterwards, some of the believers in the church went to the elders, and they said, "How dare he do that? Doesn't he know better?" And they even said, if they, meaning they, a negative they, if they're going to behave like that, they should go back to the chapel and worship on base where they deserve. Now, thankfully, those believers said that to the leaders in the church, and the leaders set them straight with love. But can you imagine if one of those people had gone up to Joe after worship and said, "How dare you? Don't you know any better?" Would Joe have come back the next Sunday? Would he have brought his buddies back with him? No. One of the realities that the church has to deal with, that is a challenge to us, because my goal is that we are going to have many newborns in Christ at this church. My goal is we're going to have lots and lots of Joes. He didn't know enough to know that everybody in church sits in back. And the best seats are not the seats here like a concert, but the best seats are all the way in the back of the house. That's a joke, okay? Now, when you have people like that, again, let me reread those words. "But we were gentle like a mother caring for her little children." Every one of those new Christians that begin to come to worship, whether it be here or any other church, even though they're newborns, even though they're pure and forgiven by Christ, the reality is that they will bring the baggage of their old way of life into the church with them. They will say words and they will do things that may not be acceptable by proper Christians. They may respond in a way, or you can fill in the gap. And we have a choice at that point. We can remember that they are a newborn in Christ and need to be cared for gently, to be nourished and taught. Or we can say, I don't want you. Sounds like a harsh challenge, a stark difference. But one of the failures of the church over the centuries, it's that so often we treat new Christians in a way that is harsh rather than gentle and nurturing. So we have that choice that we have to make. One of the best ways that we can encourage a newborn in Christ is seen in the third characteristic of their life as a babe in Christ. They need food and nourishment. 1 Peter 2:23 says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Anyone who has been around a new baby knows that they love to eat and eat and eat and eat some more. But as parents, we are going to give them the right kind of food. How many of us, bringing a child home from the hospital, would go and buy a steak and put that steak in front of it and said, there you are, kid, I bought the best meat in the world. Dig into it. We're not going to do that. They couldn't handle it. And so we're going to start them off with milk for a period of time there, and then maybe begin to mix in some formula. And then my mom still tells me, when I was in my grandparents' house as a baby in England, my grandma would take all that table food. She didn't believe in baby food. She would take all that table food and chop it up extremely fine, and I would get adult food, but in a baby way. Well, the same thing is true. Notice that a babe in Christ, one of their characteristics is that they'll crave newborn spiritual nourishment. They'll spend a lot of time studying the Word of God and applying to their lives. Jesus told us how important His Word is as food in our lives. John 6:35 and 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Verse 57, just as the Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so too the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Verse 63, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But here's the thing. As newborn babes, how many newborns know how to read? Where to stick a children's book in front of a young child? What's the first thing a parent does? We read it to them. And we'll read it hundreds of times. And then we'll teach that child to sound the words out. And we'll teach them consonants and phonetics. And we gradually, I can remember Hop on Pop. I don't know how many of you have ever seen that book, but that became that probably was the number one book in our kids' lives for years. Because short 2- and 3-letter words, and we'd get them into where they could read it and read it and read it, and then we'd graduate. But think about what we do with newborns in Christ. With newborns in Christ, we give them this Bible and say, go for it. And so, maybe they start off in the book of Genesis. And Genesis is a pretty good book. It's got lots of great stories. But then you get into Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and you think, oh my gosh, and then that's only that much, and now you've got that much left, and pretty soon the newborn goes, I can't handle it. And pretty soon the Word of God's a thing of the past. Let me ask this. Those of you who are mature in Christ, when's the last time you taught a newborn in Christ how to study the Bible? When's the last time you sat down with them and said, hey, I tell you what, there's some great stories in here. Let's start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and let's learn who Jesus is. Let's go over to John and find out a summary of what life in Christ is supposed to be. Let's look at some of the books like Proverbs and find out a great way to live life. See, we have to teach newborns how to read. And we have to do the same with newborn children in Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. We need to be gently nurtured. And we need to be taught the Word of God in an appropriate way. In the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the other stages in Christ. The child in Christ, what we would call the young man in Christ, the father or warrior in Christ. As I look at you this morning, and as you look at me, we see the outward appearance that each of us are. But none of us can tell the spiritual maturity of anyone sitting in this room. We might have a spiritual babe sitting next to a spiritual warrior. We might have a child in Christ sitting next to a teenager in Christ. Knowing that, let me ask you two questions. Question number one is a series of questions connected together. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Based on that belief, have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed the name of Jesus Christ? Have you been immersed in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? If the answer to any of those questions is no, then you are not yet in Christ. If the answer to all of those questions is yes, you've started your journey in life. If you do belong to Jesus, then the second most important question you have to ask yourselves is, are or am I growing in Christ? Peter restates that question this way in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. And notice how he describes growth a little bit differently than we might. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To your goodness, add knowledge. To your knowledge, add self-control. To your self-control, add perseverance. To your perseverance, add godliness. To your godliness, add brotherly kindness. And to your brotherly kindness, add love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, in growing in these areas, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, i.e., if you are not growing in these areas, you are nearsighted and blind and have forgotten that you have been cleansed from your past sins. You see, Scripture takes that growth all the way back to that first characteristic. Why should we study? Why should we desire to grow? Why should we desire to mature in Christ? Because God forgave us of our sins and gave us a chance to start over. I don't know if you play golf, but in golf you can get a mulligan and have a do-over. In life, you get a mulligan. It's called Christ and grace and forgiveness. But what you do with that mulligan makes all the difference in the world. If you're like me and you get a mulligan in golf, it makes no difference. I'm going to blow the second shot just as bad as I blew the first. But in life, God says, now, with my help, you can go for hole one. Are you in Christ? If not, you need to be. If you are in Christ, are you growing the way He desires you to be? Are you achieving the fullness of life that He has for you? Are you experiencing the abundant life in growing and ever-increasing measures? That is the joy of the beauty of Christian life on this earth. My prayer is that we will take today's message, as well as each of the messages coming in the next month, and we'll use them to challenge ourselves. There's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. We all start that way. But don't stay a babe in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for new birth. Thank you for the children and the grandchildren that you give to our families. And thank you for the babes and children that you give each church. May we find ourselves nurturing responsibly the family of Christ. May we strive to grow in your name because of the forgiveness of our sins that you have given us. Where we have failed to gently nourish new Christians, forgive us. Where we have tried to give a Christian meat instead of the milk of the Word, forgive us. But help all of us to desire one thing, and that is to grow and become the full, mature, exciting Christian that you have designed us to be. In Christ's name we pray. If you are not yet in Christ, you need to be. This morning we're going to have an invitation hymn, and if none of you have gone through those steps of becoming a Christian, we want to show you how that can happen in your life, and we just encourage you to think about that, as well as becoming part of a church that wants to honor Jesus Christ in every way possible. Jeff's going to come forward. He's going to lead us in the invitation hymn. Let's stand, and let's share that song at this time. If you have that decision to make, please come forward.